The first thing I want to say is that God is here. And I'm not just saying in the sense that he's here in this sanctuary. He's always here. He's always here in every season of your life. This past week, I had an opportunity to go kayaking with the Royal Rangers, and there's all these dads and sons, and then the moms were on shore, and we did that, and that was a blast. And it was neat to see how all the different parents contributed in some way. Some cooked, some led games for kids, and I like to observe, and people watch, but it was a beautiful thing to see that. And then after the kayak trip, I had the opportunity to marry someone right here in the sanctuary. And that was a beautiful thing, to see someone entering into a new season of life. This past week, I had an opportunity to visit Karen Gregory and her son John in the hospital. And just to see the miraculous things that God is doing in that young man's life. And I'm just lifting up in prayer that there's going to be a full revelation of Jesus Christ for that young man's life. Of course, we have the graduations and all the things that are happening continually in life. And then there's another man that I met with. He had never attended our church, Colleen Bouvet's friend, Mike, who recently passed away. And I just think of all of these different things that are happening at once in our body. And really, the Holy Spirit, he's here. Jesus, he died for his bride. He died for his church. He loves you dearly. And so we're going to read real fast Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And I really want you to examine today your understanding of love and how maybe you express love to the body of Christ, to the people around you. And also think about the kind of love that God has expressed to you. So Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, it says this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that, Lord, it is you who builds your church, and you have called us together, Lord. You've called us together. We're many members of this body, Lord, different parts, different seasons, Lord, different gifts and talents. But, Father God, you've called us together, and you are perfecting your body. You are perfecting us as individuals, Lord. And I just pray that we would understand your love, that we would understand the love that you've extended to us and the love that we received and how we're to extend it to others. Father God, I just pray that we would have a heart for the things that you love and that you died for. Lord, we recognize your presence, and we just desire to draw close to you today. Perfect us. Speak to us. Anyone in here, Lord, that's needing wisdom, Lord, give it to them, Lord. If anyone here needs healing, Lord, touch them, Lord Jesus. If anyone here, Lord, has a broken heart, Lord God, I just pray that you would make it whole. Father God, if anyone needs direction, Lord, lead them. If anyone is weak, give them strength. So, Father, we look to you in all things. We recognize your presence. We draw close to you. And I thank you that your promise is that you're going to draw close to us. You're here. And we thank you for that. Amen. So these verses here are a practical guide on God-like love. In this passage, Paul's demonstrating that love is an action and not just some emotion. And consequently, you can love those who are unlovely or unlovable in the world's eye. You can even love your enemy. And so the title of my message today is Agape, Love Without Limits. And that's really the kind of love that God gives us, is love without limits. In verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. And the type of love that he is saying here is this agape love. And there are five different types of love in the Greek. One is mania, which is a manic love. It's almost not even a love at all. It's like this obsession. It's this love of possession. It's generally seen as taking over the lover and making them insane, like in a frenzy. And then there's this eros love. It's the root word for erotic. It describes, it's all about emotion and this feeling of love. It's about excitement and passion and this nervous butterfly feeling that you get. We've all had that probably in, you know, sixth grade or something, seventh grade. It's an emotion. Eros always changes. Sometimes suddenly, sometimes gradually. The older you get, I think you feel less eros. More life you experience. And then there's this philo, this brotherly, this friendship type of love. It describes the love between two people who have something in common, like an interest or an experience, or they begin to develop a fondness for one another. So if you like football, maybe you begin to have a relationship around football or music or a sport, and you kind of like the same things. You ever seen teenagers when they get together and they're like, oh my goodness, we like the same thing. And, you know, you read my mind. And, you know, that kind of, that's the kind of stuff where you just kind of, you know, it's more about the circumstances. And the other half, maybe a little bit about a commitment. Philo love generally grows over time, except in the case of some sort of betrayal, it can end very quickly. And then there's this storge. The love one has love one has for a dependent, like a motherly love. It's a strong love because it involves commitment. And then we have agape love. And this is the love that's used here. Agape love is entirely about the one giving the love. It's this love that is entirely upon the one who is giving it. It's about their virtue and has nothing whatsoever to do with the one being loved. It's the purest form of love. It doesn't require payment or a favor in response. And agape is the term that's used for the kind of love that God gives us. It's without payment. And agape is also the love that God commands His church to give one another. It's a love without limits. What kind of love do you possess? I'm sure all of us at some point we can look in our history, we can look at situations, and we can see different places in our life where we've shared a different type of love. But I find that agape love is the hardest one to have. I believe that agape love requires us to empty ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. It's this love that's full of forgiveness and grace. That's why the Bible says, forgive those who come against you, or forgive those, you know, forgive your enemy or love your enemy. And it's the idea that you too were forgiven. I find that often that grace is given by people who've received it. And I think it's the same thing. People that have experienced and received agape love and sit and abide in that are able to give it themselves. So here we go. We have this idea, let love, agape, be without hypocrisy. Be without hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy was used in the Greek world for an actor who wore a mask. They wore a mask and they would portray an emotion of his character. And what Paul's really trying to say is that sincere Christians wear no masks. Instead, we should exemplify true love to the world. No masks. So how do we live out true love? And this is what Paul tells us to do in verse 9. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. And everything that falls below this is about this agape love. This agape love. You know, when I first came to the Lord, I didn't love myself. And then I realized that there is a living God and that He loved me. And I even had to understand what love meant. There came a point where I realized it's not about what I'm doing. I try to clean myself up. It wasn't about what I was doing. It's understanding this agape love that was given. And I struggled with what in my life is redeemable. And I realized it's the Imago Dei, the image of the living God that's placed in me. That was the one thing that was redeemable. And even though I couldn't love myself, I didn't respect myself, I realized that there is a living God who has an agape love. It's Him who places value in our life. And I find so often that we are ones that are willing to receive that agape love. Living in our circumstances of life, in this broken world, in our flesh, and all of our sinful desires and need. That agape, oftentimes in our relationship, is suppressed. Because we're thinking about me. But agape doesn't think about me. Agape always sacrifices for the other. And this is what Paul is saying, is that let your agape be without hypocrisy. Let your agape be without hypocrisy. And so you're to abhor from what is evil and cling to. This word cling gives the image of glue, being stuck to. What is good? And then in verse 10, he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And he's talking about the body of Christ. And he's saying, be devoted to one another in this brotherly love. See, this brotherly love flows out of your agape love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And it says, giving preference to one another in honor. That means you're placing someone else above yourself. And it's not just someone else in which deserves your love, like a mother would. I mean, do we love our moms or what? I mean, they're always like the last to eat, first to cook, right? Constant sacrifice towards a child that may not reciprocate this type of sacrifice and love. And actually, it's not even expected. Even when we ask you to clean or do something, it's your character building. I'm not getting anything from it. I find many times when your children work with you, sometimes the project takes longer because they're helping you. But really what you're doing as a parent is that you're developing them. It's not because they have something to contribute. It's because you love them and you're developing them. This word abhor is the only time it's used in the entire New Testament. It means to have a vehement dislike for something, or you hate it strongly. Do you hate strongly evil? Paul says that you're to cling to what is good. Of course, it's like a glue type of clinging. So ask yourself, do you abhor what is evil? Am I enraged over my pride, my selfishness, my favoritism, my revenge, or other ungodly behaviors? Ask yourself, do you cling to what is good? Humility, selflessness, generosity, servanthood. And I always think about this love. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't say just, you know, like John 3:16 doesn't say that, for God so loved the world, and then that's kind of it. He just loves you. Just know that. You know, love without action, it's not love. God's love for you compelled him. Compelled him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Out of the heart of his agape, he gave his son. Love without action is not love. It compels us. And so when we read the rest of what Paul is saying here, these are attitudes and actions. These are things that are flowing from the agape that God has placed in you. So many times the Christians we look at our faith and our religion as just something that we move through, or theological ideas that we capture, or an understanding like believing in God, and we have this idea that we're just good. But you see, there is an experience with the Holy Spirit. There is an experience with your Creator. There is an action that took place, and you experience salvation. You experience a new life. And so many times we don't like the experience, and we experience transformation. We experience so much. And every day our minds are to be renewed, and we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God cares about your agape transforming you. It's sacrificial, though. And so he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So many times what happens to us is that we believe in God and we run through the motions and we become more religious than relationship. And when we draw close to God, he draws close to us. When we keep in step with the Spirit, he continues to fill us daily and agape can flow. And Paul, what he's saying here is not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. This is truly a work of the Holy Spirit. Your daily life is a supernatural exercise of God's agape, overcoming your flesh, overcoming your circumstances. and it's service to him. And Paul is speaking in the context of the body of Christ, the church, which we're all called to. Verse 12, he says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. And then contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. He says, persevering in tribulation, devoted in prayer. They kind of go together. This world, we experience so much tribulation, and we see it all the time. I heard it once said that either you're in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to go into one. And this is life. It's a beautiful sunny day. And you know what? Some of us, we're going to go back to work. Some of us, we're going to go kayaking. Some of us, we're going to have a picnic. All of us want the picnic. Not all of us want the trials that this day may have. Some of us come here with our burdens. Some here, we're coming out of the storm and we're looking for a party. But the nature of the church is that we all come together to bear one another's burdens with agape. Our lives are not our own. We are our brother's keeper. And I think what happens a lot of times is as soon as we're out of the trial, we're just looking for our little vacation. But what Christ is calling us is to the ministry of the body. The ministry of the body. Not just a vacation until it's your turn for turmoil or struggle or strife, but to engage her with agape. To engage one another with agape. So we rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted in prayer. And that's how we persevere through tribulation. And then verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. And that goes, verse 13, goes with this idea of persevering in tribulation, because the others are to contribute to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. I would say that we have a very friendly church. And this word hospitality is something that's really been on my heart. Because really, we're called into this agape fellowship where he is central. Where we consider the other higher than ourselves. Where we have this sacrificial love for one another. And this idea of hospitality, I think when people come to Brighton Christian Church and they see this church body, that it's a warm church, it's a family church, it's a church of imperfect people, but we come together. And I think if you were new and you came in here, you would probably feel welcome. I hope you would. But this is not the kind of hospitality that the Bible's talking about. This is a personal hospitality in your home. It's invasive to your space. It's not meeting people in a neutral environment. This is a hospitality in a church environment that is invasive. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and this is just, I guess, a little side note. Do we practice hospitality in our own lives? Even when I look at the qualifications of elders, it say they must be hospitable. They must be people that have hospitality. And it's this idea that we're doing life on life ministry. Our gathering is not about religion, but it's about relationship. It's about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, and loving our brother as ourselves. It's not about a service order. It's not about starting at 10:15 and getting out by whatever time you want to get out. That's not the church. It's a church that is lived, the body of Christ that is lived by the power of the Holy Spirit, living out agape to one another and experiencing the fullness of God in our relationships with one another. So if I'm out of the storm, because I'm one that is hospitable to my brothers and sisters and have an agape, and I see a need, I pray with them. I help them through their tribulation. I help them to persevere. I'm devoted with them in prayer, rejoicing in hope, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And then we have verse 14. Oh my goodness. Verse 14. It's talking about the saints. And if you've gone to church long, 5 years, 2 years, you begin to see that we're imperfect. And when enough of us get together and there's not enough agape in the room, we have problems. We have problems. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. And this is talking about the context of the church. The persecution is happening within the church. He's still talking about the saints and the brothers. And there was always conflict in the first century and every century since. When we get together, if we don't abide in agape and express agape and live that out, there's problems. There's problems. Rejoicing with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Paul wants you to show your fellow believers sympathy and understanding. And I was thinking about this. What is more difficult? The sympathy or the rejoicing? The weeping with or the rejoicing? And I think sometimes it's the rejoicing. Because usually we rejoice when positive things are happening in one's life. You know, and someone has the easy road and you're looking at them and maybe something else stirs up. With agape, that doesn't stir up. Jealousy, envy, all of those things, they don't stir up. But also, when you weep with those who weep, it's having a heart, an agape, that not only empathizes with the person's situation, but it's this prayer, it's this steadfastness that fights for the other. We're going to pray for Karen and her family after the service. Look at us all together. You know, and you try to plan a service or you try to plan events or a calendar or a structure. You can't, the church is not, we're not, we cannot be organized because of life and the fall and the issues. And the beautiful thing is that Paul is continually calling the body of Christ to have agape for one another. To keep in step with the Spirit of the living God. You know, we live in a society of just individuals, and they're broken, and they're searching. But the body of Christ is to be a community of believers, where our lives, they're not our own. We understand what it means to die to self and live for the other. We understand how what it is to walk in the way of Christ and have a greater love for one another. Even beyond ourselves. It's a sacrificial call, but it's a blessing to all that receives your agape. It's dangerous, church, to live in this world and then all of a sudden to examine your life and to see I'm more of it. That my love is of the world and it's not of Christ. And it's a dangerous thing for the body of Christ when we have our love that is just something other than agape, when life is going well, how do you respond to the body of Christ? You know, Paul even says to love your enemies, to love those who persecute you. Verse 16, it says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Be wise, do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. We live in a world just that is just full of turmoil and enmity. But it says to be at peace with all men. And then in verse 18, it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. This is something that is determined by you. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And that doesn't mean that peace will come, because it takes two parties. But you're not to be one that contributes to the strife. And then there's this peculiar two verses here, 19 and 20. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And what this is pointing to is the sovereignty of God to defend you. It's understanding that the Lord is your defender. And so many times when there is conflict in the church, in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, at our job, with believers, unbelievers, do you allow the Lord to stand in the gap for you? Can you hold on to all that is good, like glue? And can you exude agape, knowing that your Father in heaven has your back, that He's going to be your defender? In verse 20, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is the kind of love that we're to have. And I just was thinking about the body of Christ, and really this is a work of the Spirit. It's a love without limits. This is what it speaks to. So many times when we have someone who says something against us, or there's enmity or conflict, if we have an enemy, very rarely do we want to feed them, invite them into our house. We want to kick them in the backside. We want nothing to do with these people. But the love of God heals. The love of God restores. Jesus Himself is in the ministry of reconciliation. And only love can do that. Only love can do that. And it's got to be an agape, a love without limits. And the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is that we're not just to sit there and understand what love is. We are ambassadors of Christ. And every time you have an ambassador going to a foreign nation, you know what they can say? Only what the nation that they represent wants them to say. The ambassador is not there to represent themselves. The ambassador is there to represent something greater than themselves. And so we're ambassadors of Christ. And the love that we give is not our own. And the way we deal with the body of Christ, it's clear, it's plain. It's an agape. It's a sacrificial that raises the other. I don't know why you came to church. I don't even know what you think the church is. I don't know what you expect from the church, what kind of worship we have, or how long the message should be. But the church is not about the service. It's not about our 10-15. It's not about our 3 or 4 songs. The church is not even just about offering what you need. It's about what you bring to the table. The love, the agape that you bring to the church will bless all those that are around you. And it'll challenge you. But the love and the agape that everyone in this room wants to give to you is going to bless you as well and serve you and build you up and empower you and encourage you. There's so much pain in this world. And today you might not face it, but it's coming. It's coming. And I want to encourage you to not put your hand in your head in the sand, but to engage this world, the Lord's church, your families with agape. And this is not something that you can mask. It's not something that you can produce. It's not a mask. It's not counterfeit. It's not agape. It's not a love with hypocrisy. This only comes from the Lord. So this requires humility at the feet of your Maker, and allow His Holy Spirit to fill you with something that is supernatural. Agape is supernatural love. It's not something that you possess. It's something, it is someone, God is love, that possesses you. And so church, let's allow the Lord to fill us and to love each other well. And it is messy. We like to structure our lives. But the church is messy. But the church is about reconciliation, healing, and seeing God magnified in the lives of all that come together. Amen.